In the 20th chapter of the book of Joshua, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. If you want to write some passages down, you can go clear back to Exodus 21 or Exodus or Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 4. All along, without exception. The 21st chapter of Exodus, I'll take them off the hook. Anybody that's with me knows this is the time to quit calling now. In Exodus 21, God defined it as a place to flee. And you can step down if you want to, singers. I don't need you right now. It was called a place to flee. At every time that God's people settled anywhere, God provided this place to flee. And when they went into the promised land, he then commanded Joshua to point out and establish 6 cities of refuge, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, you know, the average man has forgotten why a church is called a sanctuary. I got listeners in New England that don't remember one of their most famous preachers that, in violation of the law for harboring runaway slaves, pinned his sermons on a desk in an office directly over the room where he hid the slaves that fled to him for sanctuary before he stepped out to preach in that New England pulpit. You better pray, saint or sinner, that a few men remain in churches with the courage to stand for the rights that the Constitution gave them. These cities of refuge were a place that the manslayer could flee to, and if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand. They'd say, no, no, we won't show. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. God established the cities, established the city before the need occurred, ordered the entire land to keep well-paved roads to those 6 cities, constantly pluck anything off of the road that would impede progress, widely publicize where the cities were, and any manslayer, because the law allowed one nigh of kin to avenge the death. And if you did it, you could flee. This is not premeditated murder. The Bible makes the difference between the inadvertent mistake and the premeditated murder. The manslayer who killed inadvertently could flee to that city, and when he entered it, he couldn't be touched. And he had to stay inside that city, but he was free in that city until the high priest died. Then he was free to go back in the land. Nobody could touch him. God, looking out in mercy with a picture of grace again that points to what we talk about at this table tonight. I want to shift gears, and in the midst of the battles that we're fighting for freedom. I'm going to talk about grace. This table offers that same kind of escape. You say, I haven't killed anybody. Yeah, you have. All we like sheep have turned astray. We've turned our own way. We've gone astray. Sin, in essence, is rooted in that turning from God's way to our way. And the wages of sin is death. And we all stand condemned in God's eyes, killing the life that God has given us. That's what the type points to. You say, I didn't know that. Well, the manslayer was inadvertent too. But God worked out the plan and the way of escape before the guy even committed the act. And once he got in the city, he was free. The names of those cities are interesting. They appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali. Kadesh means holy. The city provided the holiness. There was no law that a holy man run up the road. The city gave it to him. Because these cities were types of Christ. Second city, Shechem and Mount Ephraim. Shechem has a double meaning. But the most literal meaning is shoulder. Always the type of strength on which you lean. The city provided the strength. And it's a type of Christ. Didn't require a man to be strong or holy to run up the trip, to run up the road. Third city, Kirjathabah, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Hebron means fellowship. Rejected, fleeing for his life. Once he got in that city, he found fellowship with everybody there. Acceptance. The city gave it to him, as it gave the holiness and the strength. On the other side, Jordan. By Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer. See, three on each side of Jordan. Now we're on the other side. Six cities. Bezer in the wilderness. Bezer means fortified place. The city provided that, the shield. Out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead. Out of the tribe of Gad. Ramoth means height or exalted. The city provides that. Any exaltation is in him, not in us. And Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. Golan means exaltation or joy. The city provided it. You know, what's this got to do with the table of the Lord? Wherever you go, God's painting pictures in drama, in prose, in poetry. He took a people that he chose to be his oracle who forgot their purpose, and he made their very history inscribe on the stage of history. Eternal truths. God ordered this through Moses to Joshua. He was pointing to a day that Jesus would fulfill all these typical meanings and provide the place of refuge. He's our city of refuge. Hebrews 6:18 pins it down. Says we're to flee to Him. Flee to the refuge, it says, speaking of Christ. Lifting right out of this Old Testament passage its meaning in substance. I say it night after night on festival. Traditions have robbed Christians and believers of the access to God's grace. The road was to be wide, well marked, clear of obstacles, and the guilty party had only to flee. When he got in the city, holiness was provided, the shoulder of strength was there to lean on, exaltation, exaltation, height, fortress, shield, strength, joy. It was all there. I try night after night to get people, if you're clear enough to see what God promised in Christ, take it. The night he was betrayed, he fulfilled this and became our refuge. He took bread and broke it, said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Surely you can throw your mind back and understand a guilty man without hope, fleeing to a city. All he had to do is get there and avail himself of it. There's only six of them. That's the number of a man. The seventh waited the incarnation of Christ. That's God's perfection. That's why the book of Hebrews adds it, as I've said, and says, "Flee the refuge which is Christ." The six cities were temporary. The seventh. Here we have no continuing city, the Hebrews letter said. We go to him that suffered without the gate, bearing our reproach. He's the city. God hinted at it when he said you could stay in that city until the high priest died. Then you were free to move anywhere, and grace was yours. Christ is our high priest, and when he died that night, the refuge of the city, which is Christ, is ours wherever we are. That's why I say, take this in your home. And God's word makes clear, when he died, he bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. All you have to do is take the elements, see what he did, look to him, remember, and claim it. Now, wherever you are, there's healing for you tonight. Take the bread, lift it, and say, "With his stripes, I was healed," as we take it together in Jesus' name. We're made worthy by his shed blood. Life resided in the blood. That's the meaning of the blood. His life poured out. The value of the blood is the value of the life. He was our high priest, God's son, sent from God to us as apostle, representing us to God as priest. He gave his life for us. We stand on his merits, and all we have to do is say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And all the benefits of the city of refuge in Christ are ours. Take the cup and thank him for it, as we lift it in Jesus' name.